The bipartisan commission investigating the September 11th attacks held its final public hearings last week. One of the panel's reports fired up the debate about possible links between al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein. The commission said it could find no credible evidence that Saddam and al-Qaeda collaborated in attacks on the United States. But President Bush and Vice President Cheney both repeated last week that Saddam and al-Qaeda did have ties. Their comments led commissioners to ask the Bush administration to provide evidence, a request Commission Chairman Thomas Kane restated this morning on ABC's This Week.
Obviously, if there is any information still that has to do with the subject of the report, we need it, and we need it pretty fast.
The commission's final report is due on July 26th. But despite this latest partisan scuffle, the 9/11 commission has maintained its overall bipartisan approach. Veteran NPR correspondent Linda Wertheimer followed the hearings. I asked her how this commission's work compared with other investigations she's covered.
Most of the investigations that I've watched have been conducted on Capitol Hill by members of Congress, sometimes special committees and sometimes regular committees. Mm-hmm. It's a very different experience to watch this group of people. It's a much tighter operation. The staff has prepared a series of papers, one for each of their sessions, that lays out everything that they have found in their investigations, and that creates the parameters for the hearing. And the witnesses testify sort of within those parameters, either assenting to or in some cases disputing those facts. A congressional hearing is, by contrast, enormously scattered and disorganized, and members each have their own agenda, which they pursue. And at the end, you don't necessarily feel that you have some kind of a coherent fact-finding thing going on.
Do those staff reports then hold the commissioners to a sort of structure as well?
I think they do. The staff papers have been agreed upon by the staff. The commissioners have seen them. There's been discussion. The other thing, of course, that these papers will be is the bulk of the report that the commission produces.
Do you have a sense that this is a truly bipartisan commission? I remember back, it was just, you know, a month or so ago that there seemed to be this danger of sinking into a more partisanship. National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice was saying she couldn't testify, and then she finally did. And what kept the commission from going down that road of partisanship?
I would say that it's partly because of the leadership. Tom Kaine, who was a former governor of New Jersey, now he's a university president. Lee Hamilton, who was for many years a member of Congress from Indiana, both of them are just about the straightest shooters you could ever hope to meet in politics. And I think that they have pretty much held it together by the sort of honest and honorable way they've gone about doing it. The Democrats and Republicans appear to have worked very well together. There have been moments, you know, when somebody's pitched a little fit, and there have been moments when members have come up with a statement which or a question which sounds as if it had been telephoned to them that morning by the White House. But it sort of presented as if, let's get all of this on the table. Let's ask the questions from every possible point of view. Let's be as clear as we can.
The 9/11 Commission has two tasks: to lay out exactly what happened on 9/11, obviously, and then to make recommendations to prevent future attacks. One of the things they've focused on in the last few days is a lack of communication between aviation agencies and officials.
Right. Once the hijacked planes got off the ground and the ground controllers discovered that they were, in fact, hijacked, then they had all kinds of problems. In some cases, they lost sight of the planes when they turned their transponders off. They had difficulty in communicating with the FAA, military authorities to possibly get planes in the air. It just seemed like a tremendously confused operation all the way to the top, where the president, who was in Florida, could not reach the Situation Room in the White House and had to resort to calling the vice president on a cell phone. So it was an enormously confusing day.
It makes me wonder, though, I mean, just days ago, on the day of President Reagan's state funeral, I was in the Capitol about to cover that when we were evacuated in almost a panic from Capitol Police. And it turns out, we're just hearing now, that the aviation officials had failed to communicate to Capitol Police and people on the ground in Washington that there was a plane coming towards the Capitol that had a transponder that wasn't working and was entering what would normally be restricted airspace. I mean, are we really better off?
Well, in that particular case, once again, there was a breakdown in communications, but it partly worked on that day. That is to say, the military planes came up to have a look, and somewhere in the process, the ground controllers communicated that, in fact, they did know what that plane was, and they were in radio contact with it, and its transponder was out of order. But, yeah, I mean, clearly they haven't got all of the kinks worked out. But I think that in the same way that people always try to fight the last war, they've been concentrating on trying to make all of this work better, trying to see to it that this kind of event cannot happen again.
The commission's final report comes out in late July. NPR's senior national correspondent Linda Wertheimer. Thank you, Linda.
Thank you.